objectives and aspirations that are always being put out, but there aren't any concrete numbers that are actually put out around what you're expecting a particular investment, you know, what an outcome is going to be from that. Is there anything you can share in terms of how many tons, how it could affect profitability, things like that?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think at the moment we're still in the process of developing the business case, so I'm not really in a position to give you hard and fast numbers. We produced 22 tons of Vital ET last year, and
yep.
What I'm certainly interested in, and this I suppose comes to the bottom of your question, not only am I interested in increasing capacity and therefore top line volume, but also, as I highlighted, part of the drive to increase capacity is our ability to make things in a more economic way, to in fact improve margin, so improve the amount of that revenue that can stay within the company and be used to extend our runway. So at the moment I'm not, I haven't completed that analysis. We're looking at several different structural ways that we can increase our capacity. But certainly I can assure you that the things we're looking at is not only what is the demand that we can guarantee, what is the potential demand, but also then looking at what impact this will have on our ability to improve margin and our ability to go out and actually start talking to future customers with some certainty that if they do show interest in the short term, that we can in fact fulfill that interest.
That's great. If you can share any of those numbers and the thinking behind that, you know, in future presentations, I think that would go a long way to pacifying the ire of some of the shareholders that are, you know, on the call. Because I think more numbers would be a lot better.
I have one more question.
I
completely understand where you're coming from. Thank you.
Yeah. No, I have one more question, if you don't mind.
Yep, of course.
When you talk about the oxycodone patch, I know, and this is not your fault because you've come in just recently, you highlighted that the oxymorphone patch in its current form, you know, had issues scaling up into a production patch. Has validation been done to make sure that the oxycodone patch, assuming it goes through its phase 2A trial, can be scaled up commercially, or will there be more work needed to be done on formulation of the patch that could potentially hold up the program just like it has for oxymorphone?
Yeah, there's a couple of things I'll raise with that. One is, from a marketing point of view, we've been asked about the connection between oxymorphone and oxycodone, and from a technical point of view as well. Although, you know, they're both opioids, although they're both strong opioids, there are clear differences between the two as far as, you know, the molecules themselves, and there's clear differences in the patch. And we have certainly looked at both of them. The issues that we've had with the oxymorphone patch, we certainly don't see with the oxycodone patch. Oxycodone itself was developed by a company called LabTech, and they have looked to ensure that all of the methodology and all of the attributes are scalable. There is obviously some work that needs to be done with the oxycodone patch just to ensure, you know, that it is a truly commercial product, but we have a lot of confidence that these are issues that can be easily worked with. So I don't see that the issues that in fact have required the reformulation of oxymorphone will be seen or understood with the, or seen or recognized with the oxycodone patch.
Okay, great. Thank you for that.
Thank you. Okay, I think we're just about at our time, so if I can ask for one last question.
Not a problem. The last question we'll have is from Stuart Miller of SN Family Trust in New Zealand. Go ahead. Thanks, Stuart.
Yes, thank you very much. My question relates to your progress on the development of the insulin, or moving insulin through the skin as part of a management for diabetics. There was a lot of talk about it initially, but I've heard very little in the last few years.
Yeah, this is a good question as well, because we do get a lot of requests and interest around what did insulin show, where is it? Certainly, part of the work that we've done in the past to define TPM as a delivery mechanism has shown that we can move molecules of different size across the skin. Insulin was of interest to people because, obviously, it's a big molecule. At the time when that clinical trial was done, I know there was a lot of excitement about the potential of it as a treatment for diabetes. It was certainly a great proof of concept. Diabetes is one of those complicated indications that requires not only a constant delivery, but also spikes in delivery. And the commercial application of that, particularly if you're asking or looking for a technology which doesn't completely alleviate the need for the injections or supplementation, means that it's it does complicate it as a commercial model. It is a long, difficult and expensive development, and I believe that we potentially have much shorter development opportunities. So in the end, there were a number of aspects which have deprioritized it, and I think it would be a major undertaking at the moment for us to re-engage in that.
Okay, thank you very much. That's cleared that up slightly for me.
All right, I think with that, I'd like to thank everyone, particularly those who provided us with questions. I hope all of you have found this informative and like the format, because we're looking to do it, obviously, each quarter. Each quarter I intend a newsletter to come out and then for us to have an opportunity like this. If there is any further questions or people would like to provide feedback, and we would really like to hear people's feedback on this call, I would really recommend that they send an email to our investor relations manager, Dave Siegel, and his email is dsiegel@phosphogenics.com. So once again, thank you, everybody, and thank you.